Okay, we'll learn for a couple minutes in the Rambam. We're in Hilchas Toin V'Nitin, Perek Zayin Halacha Vav, Chapter 7, Law 6. Now, you have to listen carefully between the difference in these two cases that he's going to bring. They're very similar, and there's one slight nuance that's different that makes a whole difference in Halacha. Again, Perek Zayin, Chapter 7, Law 6. Now, yours, it might say differently, but you're on the right place there. Shnayim Shaboladin. Two people come to a court. V'nischayev ho'echod lasheni. And the Beis Din says that the one fellow is chayev to the second guy to pay him. V'amrlo, and it's decided, he has to pay him. There's no question. And they said to him, now listen carefully, say v'tenlo. They direct him. And they say, you go and you have to pay him. Okay, now get careful at lashon. And what does he do? V'yotz, and he went out. Okay, now we don't know if he paid him or not. They said you should pay him. Then he comes back the next day, and the claimant says he didn't pay me. The defendant says, what are you talking about? Parati. I paid it. However, after he said that, the claimant came along. The Adam may eat him also, but witnesses testify. Shalopro, they didn't pay. Okay, so what do we see about this fellow? There's only one thing we know about this fellow, and what's that? He's a liar. He didn't swear falsely. Remember, he didn't swear falsely. He just lied, right? So now, so what would happen now? So we say the law is huchsach kafron. We've established that he's a liar. Lo oso mamon. For this case and this case only. I understand. No, well, just listen to everything. You'll hear what the new point of this Rambam is. Now, what happens if they say, okay, now go pay him now. And then the next day, the claimant comes and says, he still didn't pay me. The guy said, I paid him. But now there's no witnesses. Second time around. So now once we've already established that he's a liar in this case, so now he's no longer believable in this case. Now, another case can happen a few days from now. No reason to say he's going to be lying there. So, no questions till I get through the whole halacha, because you have to hear everything that's going on over here, okay? So, this is the first thing. So, he did not swear under oath, so that does not make him a person who's a choshed, all right? But he went and said, you told me to pay, and he lied, and we know he was a liar. So, now he's no longer believable in this case at all. Juxtaposed to the next little slight difference in nuance. What if the Beis Din instead of said, go and pay him, which is a directive, we've paskined, you have to pay. I mean, they say, you know, the way we're seeing this, the law should be, you'd be obliged to pay him. In other words, they're telling him what the law would be, but they have not yet issued the command to pay him. There's a step in between. They could say, well, based on the evidence, you're obliged to pay him. Now, there's usually another step that happens. And then they say, now go and pay him. So the first case, they said, now go and pay him. The second one, they said, from the evidence set forth, it looks like you're obliged to pay him. But they did not make that final order, go and pay him. That's very critical. So then what happens? So they leave the court for whatever reason. And you'll see, just hang on. The Beis Din didn't say, go and pay him. And then the next day, the claimant said, you know, he didn't pay me. And the guy said, yes, I did. Okay, and now they're going to have witnesses that said he didn't. You'd figure it'd be the same law, eh? It's not. So anyway, the yotza v'chazer amar, then he comes back the next day, v'amar parati. He says, I paid. And the witnesses testify, I didn't pay. Now, interestingly, lo huchsa kafran, he's not established as a liar in this case. And you're wondering why? Because as long as the Beis Din did not give the order to pay, he still thinks, there's time, I can find a way maybe that I could bring a little more evidence yet, because he didn't give the final ruling. And we know sometimes people will, they don't mean to tell the truth, but they're not really being liars, they're just trying to be a little slippery. So this fellow is trying to slip away. In other words, he's trying to defer the payment temporarily, until the judgment goes a little further. Since they didn't say specifically he has to pay, he figures he'll still come with a little more evidence and he'll get out of it. In other words, he wants to delay things. Again, if there's a reasonable assumption as to why he was saying what he said, and we could possibly say he's saying it just to push the guy off, then we assume he's just saying to push the guy out and he's not an out-and-out liar. In a case where there's no way we could even justify him pushing him off, we already said before, if the guy says he was being facetious or whatever, he says, sure, I owe you. If there's a way that when he says it, we could understand that we know he didn't mean what he said when he was saying it. And therefore, it's not an out-and-out liar. That's the slight nuance difference over here. So since they didn't say you have to pay, and now the guy's asking for the money, the guy's like, hold on. You know, we haven't decided the case yet. Now, he didn't say all those words. He just said, I paid you. Like leave me alone. Because the case isn't finished. So a person will just say, I paid you. It makes it simple. As opposed to, well, this is not everybody's a big talker. So now what will happen now if they finally, the next day, then that day, second day, they say, okay, now you go and pay him. All right? Now, the next day, the claimant says he didn't pay him, and the other guy says, I did, and there's no witnesses. Now would be the halacha. We would believe what he says, because he's not a huchsa kafran, and he would swear shvuas hesus and wouldn't have to pay. Because we assume the first time he wasn't an out-and-out liar, he's just pushing him off. Lefikach, im chazer, pam, acheres. Therefore, if the litigant's going to come again, v'tan, sheparol, zemon, he's going to claim he paid the money, sheskayev, v'fneim, he paid for him. Lo, yisham, edim, there are no witnesses the second time around. Shemachis, on pam, shnia, to contradict him the second time. Harez, and nishba, hesus, he makes rabbinic oath, sheparol, that he paid him, v'niftar, and he's off the hook. Now, obviously, once you have these two halachas together, what would be wise for a bezdin to do when they're giving directions? Well, obviously, the Rambam says, Levika, therefore, Haya Beki Hadas. Those people who had elucidation of mind, Shibisfard in Spain, Kishe Yoida Halove, once the Love admits, in that second case, if in the second case, in the first day, where the guy admits he has to pay, as we talked about last week, or he has to make an oath in Bezdin, Bezdin Omer, the Malva could say in front of the Bezdin, Lobachne Bezdin, you know, right now that you said that he's going to be chayiv and all this, to avoid this problem of the guy saying things that maybe he didn't mean, he could say, I'd like you to make a ruling right now. Havai alei edim. You have to have edim shelo yifrani that you didn't pay, or shelo yishevali elbethem. You have to pay me back in front of witnesses. So now that you know you have to pay me, in other words, you don't have that out anymore. I want you to say and direct him that you have to have, I have witnesses that he didn't pay me. He either has to have witnesses that to back up what he's saying, but he can't. And if you want to make an oath, you have to make an oath in front of Adam to avoid that problem, because he can get away with it. So he can impose that he's got to either make an oath in front of Adam, or he has to have Adam that showed he paid back, and that's the way he would be able to be believed. But now we put the screws really on him, because otherwise we'd be believing him, and then we have no more proof anymore. So now Bezdin can say, you can only pay back with Adam, and we have to have witnesses that showed that you paid him back because of the suspicion. So a clever Bezdin would do that. If they're not clever, the guy could still get away from it. Yeah, now your questions?
Don't we have a principle that's very hard to have testimony that something did not happen?
Yes.
First of all, they could say it's called, did you ever call private eye?
No, but we've said many times.
Two witnesses said, we've been watching him for the last 24 hours.
This has come up before in our years.
But they could say from today to tomorrow, we know he didn't pay him. We were with the claimant the whole time, and he never showed up. That you could say. We know he did not pay.
They say, were you with him the whole time?
Yes, and they say, we were with him. Now, if they weren't with them, you're right, they couldn't testify. But if they know, we know he didn't pay, we were with the claimant the last 24 hours, he's in our house, and the guy never came and never offered any money. That's a testimony. Or we were with the other guy, we watched him. We made sure, because we were suspicious, he's going to say this, he's a liar. So we were, the last 24 hours, we were with the guy, and we know he did not get paid. Okay, good. More questions? Same question?
Yeah.
You can prove that something hasn't happened.
But we've talked about
you couldn't prove it for 5 years, but from one day to the next, it's not so hard to prove. He walks out of court at 4 o'clock. The next morning, the guy says he hasn't paid me. For 24 hours, you could be with somebody and know he didn't get paid.
The other question I had is, he's just deferring. And why? I mean, he's deferred. Don't say I paid.
Well, you know what? Not everybody is so eloquent in the way they can speak. And a lot of times, you just figure, you know, I'll just say I paid him and just leave me alone.
That's a lie.
Yeah, but a lot of times he doesn't mean to lie. He doesn't mean to lie. Other cases are, it's different. If the Bezdin said you have to pay him, there's nothing more, we have no way of justifying it. If there's a way that we can interpret his words that he didn't really mean to lie, that he meant to push him off, we interpret it that way. Because in general, we don't assume the Jews lie. But a lot of times we say things, he's going to just push people off. If the Bezdin says you got to pay, there's no ability to push off. You're either lying or telling the truth. If Bezdin says we think you have to pay, that they haven't made the final ruling, so he maybe just wants to put, we have this many times, the guy wants to push him off. It doesn't necessarily mean he wants to be a liar. Okay, let's continue. Halacha Zayin. Mi shahayda bebezdin shani chayiv lozeh hatovei amona. A guy confesses in court that I am chayiv to pay this guy $100 that he has claimed it from me. V'yachir kach omar, and he did that. I'm admitting. And they said, you know, I also remember something else. Niskarti Shaparati Lochova. I also remember I paid the debt I owed him too. Zesho Desibo, this which I admitted to him. Okay? And then Vare ate him. Then witnesses come along and they say, yeah, you know, he owed him the money. And it could very well be, it's not clear from the Rambam if they also said, and he paid the money, but they said he owed the money. Okay, so he says, I admit I owe the guy money. Could be the guy claimed even. He says, you know, you owe me money. He says, yeah, I owe the money. You know, and then he says, and I remember I also paid you. And then later, the guy brings witnesses that he owed him the money. So what do we do now? Areza edus moeles. This is a good testimony. But osin alpihem, and we do as they say. Now it would appear from the Rambam that these guys are saying that he also paid. You'll see from the commentaries. It seems like this. If I have the case straight, the guy says, "I admit I owe you the money, and I also remembered that I paid you." And then witnesses come along and said, "Yeah, he owes him the money. He paid him. Let's just say he paid him." Okay. So now, if we remember, we had a case before. Remember where one guy said, "You guy said, I admit I owe," and the other guy said, "But I admit you didn't pay me back, whatever." But here the thing is, when the guy says, "I admit I owe," isn't that a hodas beldin? Isn't that a guy he admits he owes, right?
Yeah.
It's worth 100 witnesses, right? He admits he owes. Yeah, but he also said, "You paid."
Right? Why didn't he say I owed you?
But, you hear them? No, he said, "I owed you."
First he says,
Hoda Vezin Shani Chayev. First he says, I admit I owe you money.
Right. But that's wrong if you paid it.
Right? He claimed this, I owe you money. I said, I admit I owe you money.
Contradicts me.
No, he says, I admit I owe you money.
Yeah.
Wait. And then he waits a couple minutes and says, you know what? I also remember I paid you back.
On second thought.
Okay. And now, and there are Adim that come along, and the Adim come along, and they say that, he paid him back. So we say, this Adis, you know, will help for him. And we go according to what they say, because Sharei Lohichish Adov, because he's not contradicting the witnesses either. Because he went back and said, now if it's a case where a guy says, I admit I owe, right? And then witnesses said, we saw him pay back. Remember we learned earlier that the admission of a person is like 100 witnesses. Then the witnesses wouldn't help. Remember we had that case last week where the guy says, I admit I owe, and he didn't say he paid back. Okay? And witnesses said he paid back. He has to pay back because he's like 100 witnesses when he says he owed, and he never said, and he said, I didn't pay back. He said, I didn't pay back. That was before. So then we don't listen to witnesses. But here, he did say, I paid back. So even though the witness, so
before
he's not.
Before the witnesses came.
Before the witnesses came.
The
so now the witnesses said he paid back. So even though he admitted he didn't pay, he owed, but he also said he paid. So he's not contradicting the witnesses. It's not like he said, Lo lavisi me olam. It's not like he said, I never borrowed from him. Okay? So the it seems to accommodate the witnesses. Let's say the guy would have said, "I never borrowed." The guy says, "I never borrowed." What does that mean? It also means I never paid back.
Right.
Right. Then it'll be a problem. Let's say a guy says, "You know, you owe me money." I never borrowed from you. And the witnesses come along and say he borrowed and paid back. He'd still have to pay.
Yeah.
Because when he said I didn't borrow, it means I never paid.
Right.
But here, since he said he paid, right, even though the chiddush is, even though he says I owe, but since he also afterwards said I paid, and that is not in conflict with what the witnesses said, so we will believe the witnesses and we'll believe him, and he will not have to pay again because he said he paid.
He recanted before the,
before the witnesses came.
Right, okay.
It's a taking back of his original.
He didn't take back, he added.
Yeah,
he said, "I owe the money."
Once you say "I owe," that means I did not pay back.
No, he said, "I owe."
No, back.
The guy says, "You say, I said, I know I owe you money. I know I borrowed money from you."
Yeah, borrowed.
But that's different. Money. If I said I owe,
well,
I borrowed
money. It just says, "I admit that." The guy said, "I admit that I owe you money. I borrowed money. I owe you money, right?" But then he remembers, says, "You know, I remember. You know, tell me the guy. Remember that I paid you back too."
Yeah.
Could be sometimes the guy says, "Yeah, I admit I borrowed.
Saying,
I don't recall if I paid back. I don't know. I think I owe you money.
He admits I owe you money."
And then a few minutes later, he says, "And I remember also that I paid you back.
Hence, I don't owe you money.
And now I don't owe you money."
Exactly.
And then the witnesses come later and said, "You know, he paid him back.
We witnessed him."
So then we're okay because he's totally in agreement. Even though you might have thought when he said I owed the money that I still owe the money, but since he said I paid him back, then we're okay on that count. Yes.
Rabbi needs a vacation.
Now, if you didn't like these two halachas, you're certainly not going to like the third one here.
Because
what the problem with this Rambam is, he's saying a lot of theory, and usually after saying a lot of theory, he gives you a for instance. Here he says a lot of theory and does not give you a for instance. That makes it a little challenging. Ches. Yesh latoen bebezdin. Now we're going to reverse. Now we're not going to talk about the defendant changing his words. How about the claimant changing his words? So there's sometimes when the claimant can change his words and we'll accept it, and sometimes he changes his words, we won't accept it. Yesh latoen bebezdin lachzer velitain taina acheres lahachish atana rishona. There sometimes can be cases, which the Rambam does not give us examples of, that he's permitted to make a claim, and then make another claim that seems to contradict the first claim, right? V'somchen al tanos ha-richrona, and we'll rely on the second claim. V'yafal pi, and more so, even though shalotzan amatla l'tayin ha-rishon. And he didn't give an excuse why he said the first thing. Okay? He doesn't say, "Well, I meant, when I said the first thing, I really meant like this." You know, he doesn't really say, maybe he first said, He doesn't owe me, and then he does owe me. It's not clear what he's saying. He can make claim A, and then he could turn around and then say the opposite and claim B, and we will rely on the second claim that he makes. Even though after the first claim he went out of Bezdin, and he comes back, it's day two, whatever. So he can go back, valiton, and make a claim. He can change all the claims he made until witnesses come. And now if they'll say something against his claim, but his last claim can stand as long as the witnesses don't come who go against him, and his claim stands. Okay. Aval meyachas shavo edim, but once edim come along, and now they contradict that second claim that we're going to rely that he can change it to. He can't now change it to a third claim afterwards. Once the Bezdin, the witnesses come along and contradict him, he can't go and change that. Maybe he still could. Unless he gives a real good excuse for what he meant when he goes and switches it again. And it also can be inferred. The last one could be inferred from the one before. I could hear how they could have meant that's what he meant to say. As he now suggests in this third time. So in other words, he's basically saying a claimant can keep switching his claims until the witnesses come to contradict him. And that's his claim that he makes. Once the witnesses come to contradict, he can't change his claims anymore. And if he does, The only way it could be believed if he has a way for an excuse, what he meant to say before and how it could be inferred from what he said. The Rambam gives the commentator example. Let's say there's a story in the Gemara. The guy says, I claim that this field was my father's.
Okay.
Then witnesses said, no, it belonged to the father of the other guy. So now he could say, well, you know what I meant to say, I'm so sure that I'm the owner as if I had inherited from my father. That's what I meant to say. And if I say it's from my father's, it's for sure mine. So I meant to say it's for sure mine. And the Gemara says that's an acceptable way of saying it. All right, anyway. So, but all that, even any of the changes in this case, in this last case, but he can't have left Bezdin in between the changes. Why? Because of because he leaves Bezdin, and Yochel Lachzor Liton Achash Boredin, he can't reverse this, what he said when witnesses come. Shema Nashim Roim Limdu Tan Shalshad, because maybe some liars, he went to a lawyer or a liar who said, you know, maybe you should make a different claim because now against the this guy, these witnesses, is not going to be good. So say you meant this and this and all these other things. Too late. It would have been really nice. Rama would have given a nice, good, clear example of this. But he doesn't, so I'm not going to either. All right.
But which claimant are we talking about here? Is this the defendant or the...
The claimant, the Taina, the guy who's making the claims. Yesh Latoein, the guy who's making the claim, right? He can make a claim, he could change the claim before witnesses come. I really would have liked to know what... Does your English give any further elucidation?
Just that example you gave.
But not... All right, so I guess the guy could claim and say, you know, it was mine... It was my father's, and then afterwards he says, "You know, really, it was mine."
He says it really did belong to your ancestors, but it belonged to me for so long. It's like it belonged from my father's.
That's
what? But did it belong to?
I've had it for so long. No. It's like it belonged to my.
It's like it belonged. It really belonged to your ancestors.
So it's like he's.
But I've had it for so long. It's like it's from my ancestors.
Yeah. All right. So I guess he said that. He said, I guess it was my ancestors. And then he goes and says,
I've had it so long. It's from my ancestors.
The extending of the claim once the witnesses come. But prior to the witnesses, he can change it 1,000 times.
That's what they seem to say. That's kind of, I'm, you know what? There's no commentary on this, so I can't help you on this. I'm a little bit in the dark too on this.
I thought when he said something in court, that was it. It was only outside you could.
This is all over here, but Bezdin. He makes a claim in Bezdin, and then he makes another claim, contradicting the first claim. And we rely on him.
That's not what they're saying.
You know, I guess maybe he might want to say it one way to make sure he's going to get it. You know, and then maybe he decides to be a little bit more honest. I don't know. It's a mystery why the Rambam always says a rule and always gives an example. He's giving you three rules and no examples, so we'll have to live with it.
One.
All right, what?
He said maybe he couldn't think of
one. I'm sure they were. Anyway, let's start the eighth chapter because I want to finish the eighth chapter tomorrow if possible. So we have to move a little bit. Okay, now we're going to shifting gears, and we're going to talk about the concept of chazaka. Chazaka, the general idea of a chazaka, the rule we generally say possession is 9/10 of the law. Whoever's got it, he's usually the one we assume is the owner. And Rama's going to get... Now, I think we need Mark to make the little magic touch.
I'm so glad I came.
It's like unbelievable. We can flick all day long, and he just does one flick. See? Look at that. Look at that.
He's got the magic.
Okay, you want chapter 8? Toin Venitan. You need to look for the alphabet or T. Toin Venitan, chapter 8. Okay? Got that?
Yes.
Okay, good. So we're going to talk about the concept of chazaka. The first halachas are pretty straightforward. Kol hametaltalin. Any movable object will qualify that statement. You have chapter 8?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you take Toin and Nitan?
Oh, Shechita.
Shechita is not going to do
it. Cut it out.
We need Toin and Nitan. Oh.
Okay, we retract our...
Okay.
Oh, no, he's going
to be Toin and Nitan, chapter 9. Okay. Call him a talcum. Any movable object... We say becheskas ze shehem tachas yodo. We assume that they are owned by the person who's holding on to it. You've got it. We assume you're the owner by metaltalin. Aval bi shehevi hatovea edim shematalton lo yedu in lo. Even if the claimant who doesn't have it, he brings witnesses and say it was well known that they did belong to him.
But he could have sold them.
Right? But yeah, things can happen. Well, we knew yesterday he owned it. That's great. But that doesn't mean anything. Ketzad. Now, see here, gives an example now. Makes it easy. Ketzad. Beget ze okliza shebiyorchav shebsoch beeskoli. The claimant says, your garment that you have in your hand or that's in your house, it belongs to me. Oh, he've got it to you. Or I gave it to you to watch. Oh, he shalt you. Or I lent it to you. Loch. Vareha ate him, and the witnesses, Shem Yodin also, Mikodim Rishit, and they all, there's witnesses who know that it used to be in my pride, it used to be mine. They know for sure it used to be mine. And now I'm saying that I either gave it to you or lent it to you or whatever. Vanidfomer, the claimant says, Loki, not so, Elatot Machartoli, you sold it to me. O Nisatoli, you gave it to me as a gift. Mm. So now what do we have? We have the person holding it. You got the other guy claiming and bringing witnesses that we know for sure he was the owner of it, and it could be probably as recently as yesterday. And the guy's saying, you know, you've took it unlawfully, or you borrowed it, or you lent it, but it's mine. And the guy says, sorry, you know, I've got a good reason to say that it's mine. Here's the point. We go with what? Now you got witnesses, a claim, and a witness against a guy who's holding it. Right? Hareza hanitva nishba has a totally denial. So the one who's the defendant, he makes a rabbinic oath, viniftar, and he doesn't have to pay the money at all. Okay. Wow. You will see, though, in the subsequent, after the second halacha will be many qualifications to this. So it's not like all movable objects. There's a number of qualifications to this. Now, let's go a little bit further. Let's say instead of the defendant saying, you sold it to me or you gave it to me, how about this one? Ta'an shu mashkin b'yoro says, I agree, it's his, 100%. But you forgot to tell everybody one thing. Hey, yesterday, I lent you $1,000. And you gave it to me as a mashkin. Now, that means if you don't pay the mashkin, I'm the owner of this. Right? So now, and the guy could say, you know, and let's say the mashkin happens to be, we appraise it, worth $1,000. So it kind of will fit really good to the claim that I lent you $1,000, right? Now, if the mashkin is only worth $500, then we can only assume the loan was $500. Could be more, right? Anyway, so now what's going to happen now? Could be the claimant got himself in a little bit of trouble. So Yochel Liton, the defendant, can say, well, this guy owes me $100, and I got the mashkin. Remember, I have it. That's the real point. I have it. I'd get it off until the value of what he has. If he's $1,000 in his possession of an item, we're going to believe him to say he owes me $1,000, and that's why I'm holding on to it. And now what's he going to do? Vinishba benikitas, and therefore he can claim it's his, and if you want it back, you're going to have to give me $1,000.
Well,
and then you're going to get the item back. Vinishba benikitas chayfetz, and now he'll make an oath by holding on to a Torah object. Vinotel, and he will now be able to take the $100,000 and give back the item. Kamoshi Barno, as is explained in other early in Hilchos Malva Belova, because the guy who's holding on to a mashkin, he makes an oath akin to a biblical oath. And remember, why do we believe him so much? Because he has an amazing migu. And what's his migu? He could have said, I bought it from you. Remember, he's holding it. Possession is 9/10 of the law. Why do I have it and you don't have it? Now, of course, a guy could be a liar. Okay, you don't have to deal with God. He makes a shuasesis. He's holding on to the thing. You know, you'll burn in hell for this, man. You could always get away with things in this world. It's very easy. But it's a great price to pay for getting away by making an oath like that.
And
the guy could either say, now the claimant has two options. Says, okay, you know what? Just keep it. I don't want it back, and you keep it, which would be an acceptable one. If you really want it back, based on my claim, you owe me $1,000. Pay me the $1,000, and you get to get the thing back. He's a liar. He's a liar. Doesn't matter. I'm holding it, and I've got a legitimate claim. Or get of all the witnesses in the world, you owned it till yesterday.
It's relevant.
But it doesn't matter.
Could have sold it last
you didn't
night.
Bother and tell anybody that you borrowed $1,000 from me.
Yeah.
And the guy can say, well, I don't owe you $1,000. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm holding your object. You don't want to pay me? Don't pay me, and I'm keeping the object. You want the object. He has to make an oath, because there's a claim being leveled against him, and the claim is saying, that's my object. So he's got to deny that. He has to make an oath to deny that, and now, but he can now collect from the $1,000 in order to get that. Now, if he wants to, he can counterclaim. But he doesn't need to counterclaim. He counterclaims and say, you know, he hasn't paid me back my $1,000. Well, he's not going to bother to make that counterclaim because he's holding on to the item. He doesn't counter. What does he have to counterclaim for? He could just say, I'm keeping it. You don't want to pay. I'm keeping it. And that's the end of the story.
What would he swear? What would he swear in this case? He owes me $1,000?
He says, this is a, I swear this is a mashkin that he owes me.
Okay.
And if he'll pay me the money back, I'll give him the thing. And if not, I'm holding on to it. Okay. That's what he swears.
We've had many cases where there's dispute and the guy grabs. So does the chazakah become his because he's grabbed it?
Who said he grabbed it?
No. In general, we've had many cases.
No, that's only when there's other factors involved. Here, we don't know about any grabbing. They just come into court.
I'm saying chazakah because now
he's grabbed Lisa.
No, you just don't. Here, here.
Oh, holy smokes. Whoa.
It's mine. Because I grabbed it.
And the witness
it,
right? is yours.
Yeah. So, I mean, that doesn't work. That doesn't work. The guy is holding.
No. We're talking about, you know, there's a dispute. Somebody grabs and the court says we're not going to make him give it back.
But where there's a lot of doubt in that case, then the grabbing helps. Here, there's no doubt in the case. There's no other factors involved over here. So therefore, he's got it. And as long as he's holding it, we assume it's his. That's how powerful holding on to it. Now, you're right. Maybe the day before he stole it from him. But you know what? He's going to have to make an oath. And we still have to assume that when a person swears, unless he's a choshud, unless we suspect him, we assume the guy's telling the truth. We have to have a system where we believe people are honest until proven otherwise. So if the guy's holding, you got clearly A owned it until yesterday. For some reason, B is holding on to it now. Now, one of two things happened. Either as B tells the truth why he had it, or he's a rotten guy. So now he's got to make an oath. And that's the way we decide things. I'm not talking about grabbing here. Let's forget about grabbing now. It's called the guy's holding on to it, and we don't know what happened. We don't know if he grabbed. Now, what will happen tomorrow is there's going to be qualifications upon qualifications where, only things that are generally not lent out, things that are made to be lent out, then it changes the whole scenario, and we'll see that tomorrow.
And tomorrow we're changing the time of run.